It is National Hat Day.
And you got a good one on right now.
Is this technically a hat?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a stocking cap.
It's a hat.
When I think of a hat, I'm thinking of a ball cap.
That's a hat. It counts.
Which I bet I have currently... I have an assortment of Twins and Miracle caps, mm-hmm. Cub caps, Chief ones, Nebraska. I've got one cap that is from the U.S. Senior Open that is my workout golf hat that is... coronavirus is not defeating that hat. That hat probably has more viruses on it than coronavirus because it's like sweat stained. It's and I wore it the other day because I went to work out and I wanted to wear a hat. I know I'm weird. Don't judge, please. I'm very fragile. It's not even like flexible. It's like hard.
Oh.
But it's like 8 years old. But it's, you know, it's got the sweat stains on it and stuff.
Right.
I bet I have 150 ball caps.
Yeah, you're a hat guy, so.
Mm-hmm. And here's one lesson I learned. So, and a lot of the caps I own are like minor league baseball caps.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to be in that business, and so you'd go to different shows and pick things up, or, you know, they got all unique caps.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the kind of head that a hat doesn't look, you know, it's got to be a perfect fit. You know, I wear the flat bill occasionally. But I would say, so I bet I got about 150 caps. But I learned a lesson because I was called out by that guy that usually sits over there.
Uh-huh.
Like today, it's NFL Friday in the station. So I got my Chiefs gear on.
Yep.
That if I would have made a mistake and came in like with a Chiefs hoodie and like a Nebraska cap or a Cubs cap, I would have got called out.
Why?
He says you got to match.
Oh, no. No. When it comes to sports stuff, no. Uh-huh. You can rep two teams.
So it's National Hat Day. You're not a big hat guy.
I'm not. No, I've always said my head is too big for a hat. It just doesn't look right. But I am a stocking hat guy.
You're what, about a 7 3/4?
Here's how much I'm not a hat guy. I have no idea. But I think it'd be bigger.
You could possibly be 8.
There's a chance. I have a big noggin. They had to make a special helmet for me in football in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, that was bad.
I don't stare at your head very often, but now that you've brought that up.
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay.
Huge stocking hat guy, though.
Yeah.
I have way too many of those. I have two sitting on my desk right now. I only wore one.
Yeah, see, with the stocking cap, like, I can't take this off today.
Uh-huh. Because underneath?
Because, like, it'll just mess up my hair. And my hair will look awful. Okay, so I'm stuck with it all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for everybody that is celebrating National Hat Day, Channel 3 Sean, him and his son, they have a plethora of, like, Channel 3 Sean is a hat guy.
Mm-hmm.
We've always talked about this. There's some people you always see that are always wearing a hat.
Always.
And the one day they don't wear a hat, you wonder what's wrong.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin.
Oh, that's
Mike Tomlin was doing his postseason press conference the other day, and he wasn't wearing a hat. You didn't know who it was.
Looks like a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get used to Frank Solich not wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Frank would go out in public and make appearances and he would not be wearing a hat. Because, you know, every football coach. Like, how many people look at Scott Frost, for example? Whenever you see him not wearing a hat, you go, what? Guy's always a hat guy.
Yeah.
All right. In the Equitable Bank inbox, there is no doubt that Urban is a good football coach. You say, Gary, go ahead and build a house on that limb that you just climbed out on. I think you'll just be safe. How many athletic directors in this country, if Herbs called you up and said, I'm there, open the checkbook. How many athletic directors say, come on down? Now, you know what you're getting with him. He has had issues at Florida. He's had issues at Ohio State. The NFL, that doesn't matter. You hired him to be relevant. You needed to sell tickets. You needed to hire a football coach that people don't have to Google. You don't have to Google him. And the same in college. I mean, he calls you up and says, hey, Urban Meyer would like to talk to you. When can you take his call? Now? Just what version will we get in the NFL? And will we get the close to a Jimmy Johnson or Chip Kelly, Bobby Petrino? What we got with 1 year of Jonathan Rutledge was not good. As we make the transition to the now departed special teams analyst, you know the numbers, but let me just repeat them. And this is with Nebraska having an all-Big Ten kicker. Possibly could have had an all-Big Ten punter. Daniel Cerny got hurt before the season and never punted, and that became a mess, especially when you needed certain times for punting to be good. Nebraska was 95th in punting, 105th in punt coverage, 94th in kickoff return. They were 87th in the kickoff return. They were 14th in the country in punt return. But add all those numbers up and put them into the ESPN formula, Nebraska was one of the worst special teams units across the board in all of college football. And the next step is either make it a full-time position. How you doing, Bill Bush? But the third time better be the charm. Because if you're a failure on special teams again, you're stuck. Where are you going? I mean, if you want to say in a normal season, if 2020 was a normal schedule and there were still the same results, let's say Nebraska's a 5 or 6 win team. Let's say Nebraska went 6-6 last year. Now you've got 9 of your 11 starters back on defense. You've still got numerous questions on offense. Starts with the quarterback. Who's going to replace the usage or the yardage that Wandale Robinson gave you? Where are you getting better? Where are you going to be a +2, +3? I mean, at the very least, you have to be a +3. That's absolute minimum next year. Nebraska has to find a way first to win 6 games. And then win your 7th, win your 8th. But you've got to find a way to win 6. If you can't win 6, what are we doing? So, are there 2 of those wins out there that could be strictly on special teams? But the third time has to be a charm. You have to get it right. You have to definitely be better in that area. And I think you also have to be better in your attention towards it, that it is a priority in your program. I keep saying this. Push your chips to the middle of the table. Why not? Embrace it. Make it a big deal. Badge of honor to be on special teams. Hey, I get to go run full speed down the field and knock somebody out. Really? You're the next Lance Gray? You betcha. I don't know who Lance Gray is, but I'm the next Lance Gray. Make it a big deal to be on special teams. But do you have that in your culture of the program that that's what you want to do? That all of a sudden you've gone from special teams, yeah, we got to pay attention to it, but we got a lot of other issues, to saying, nope. Special teams are the way we're going. We're not going to go at a tiptoe pace on building that phase of our game. We are now going at, I'll keep it relevant, warp speed. As our discussion with Brian Christopherson about Jonathan Rutledge, and you're a guy that's not an on-field guy, so you're picking and choosing from players that you don't know what their strengths are. You maybe don't have full time with them outside of your specialist guys that have, you know, foots and toes. A little bit tough to establish what you want to do. And then you had an injury. But as an analyst, you're from afar. You know, you're not deep in the weeds with your hands on, which probably leads me to believe that that's going to be a full-time position moving forward. But there you got to shift some duties around. Got to create some opportunities to have a full-time special teams coach. But reading through the little Q&A that Mitch Sherman from The Athletic did with Jonathan Rutledge, and he said all the right things. He was very complimentary of his experience here at Nebraska. Didn't work out. I'm sure he thought that, you know, another year of having his place kicker and another year of familiarity with the talent that is on the roster, the strengths and the weaknesses of the players that would be available to him to participate in special teams, you could have seen a difference. Or what we saw against Illinois or what we saw against Rutgers, that was all you needed to know. We've talked about Illinois not having, Nebraska not having 11 men on the field. They had 10. They couldn't find the 11th. I'm not kidding. That is true. He said it. They couldn't find the 11th guy. I don't know how that happens. Unless they were like either in the tent being administered to, or they had, gone to the bathroom. I don't know. Yeah. Pulled a Jared Afalava, Thunder Collins, guys that would just disappear in the middle of a game to go to the bathroom and wouldn't tell anybody. Then against Rutgers, got out schemed, which, or the planning and the acknowledgement that Rutgers was likely to run a fake punt, that was not taken from the preparation week into the game, because anybody that had gambled on Rutgers all season long saw that there was the possibility that they were going to run fake punts. But why special teams is not so quick to say make it part of your culture is it's got to start with the head coach. The head coach has got to be involved in special teams. Said this yesterday, if the head coach takes that under his wing and makes it a big deal, man, guys aren't going to screw around. Guys aren't going to mess up if they know that the head coach is involved. If they know that the head coach is in weekly meetings, daily meetings about special teams, they know that that guy is watching you more. You think you're going to maybe think about the next time you screw up? Or it adds to, that's an important part of our program because the head man is heavily involved. Or is it all about offense at Nebraska? And you know what? Don't worry. Our great offense will take care of everything that ails this program. If our offense is so good, don't worry about it. Eric Chenander, you guys could give up 35, but you know what? We're going to score 38, 45, 50. Don't worry about it. Special teams guy, man, why are we recruiting punters? Because we're not going to punt the football. We're going to be so good offensively, we're not going to have to worry about that. We're going to be so good offensively that we can overcome any shortcomings. Because when we're really, really good offensively, we're going to attract a lot of attention, and that's where the recruits are coming. Now, I may have gone a little extreme, but hopefully you get my point. There is a lot of attention up top towards offense. There probably should be some more attention towards offense, or in maybe some cases, least attention towards offense. But the amount of attention towards offense and the desire to be so good on that side of the ball that it takes care of everything else might honestly just get in your way. And with less questions on the defensive side of the ball, will that matter? At the end of the day, will it matter because there is so much attention on offense? And there will be even more attention on offense because it hasn't gone so well. So you're going to have to invest more to fix what has ever ailed it. Hey, we'd all love to have go into a season where the top 8 tacklers are back, 17 of the 20 top 21 guys on the defensive side of the football that were involved in snaps are back. You got 9 of the 11 starters. You got 5 of your 6 guys on that side of the ball that could come back, came back. We'd all love that. But what if you're a full-time offensive guy that you have laid it down, that that's the identity of your program? A little pride involved. Maybe it drives you a little bit. I want the defense to get all the attention. I'm an offensive guy because it comes back on you. As an offensive guy, that's the part of your program that right now isn't moving forward and has more questions than the other side of the ball, where prior to this past weird season, shortened season, there were all kinds of questions. Hmm. lot of attention towards offense. Need to be more attention towards special teams. And if you make the decision to go with a full-time guy, where that's what they do every day, but they are sitting at the big boy table because they're a full-time assistant, and they can develop a relationship with position coaches where position coaches understand how important special teams are, and I'm going to have to borrow some of your guys to participate. The next stage of being a CEO, running this thing like a business, this is a business decision. This is a business decision that has an immediate return on investment. Just look at Sean Snyder when he went to USC. One of the knocks against Clay Helton was their special teams are awful. Hired Sean Snyder. They were middle of the pack in college football from the bottom to the middle, and it helped them, actually helped them in quite a few of their wins, where they win five games this year. LA Times had a recap story, and they attributed better special teams play to helping them win three games, at least three games, that in terms of field position, punts, you know, holding somebody deep, so on and so forth. So, but if you're a CEO and you run it like a business, that's a good business decision to have somebody full-time that takes care of that position and they can work at their craft full-time. All right, break time, 12:41. Some emails and some tweets that we will get through on this. What a week. What a week of information concerning Nebraska football. I'm probably not done. We'll see. Maybe somebody doesn't show up this weekend that you expected to come back. Don't know. I mean, for content on a sports talk radio station, yes, we love that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Plus, we also will finish today with the four games that will be played in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. George and his Packers against the Rams. You got Baltimore and Buffalo, which Baltimore has covered seven straight games. FanDuel Sportsbook, don't forget about that. Cleveland and Kansas City. It'd be weird on Sunday. There's no noon kick. We lose the noon kick. Not that I'm complaining. The Chiefs don't play till 2:05. And then you've got the old guys playing between New Orleans and Tampa Bay, which I think the must-see game is Baltimore-Buffalo. The most competitive game might be Tampa Bay and New Orleans. We'll get to all of that before we're out at 2 for the weekend of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.